Good morning. Let us open up in a word of prayer. God, the words that were just sang, reckless love. Sometimes when those words are sang, Lord, it doesn't make sense. Because we really don't comprehend your love. Your love may seem reckless simply because it's outside of what we would do personally. But God, how you lavish your love upon us, even though we do not deserve it. That you will pursue after us, even though we don't deserve it. And God, we count that as a blessing. Because this is the depth of love that you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, we just want to acknowledge your presence with us. We know that you are here, and we ask that you will move. In fact, we also just soften our hearts, and we grant you permission to do as you please. That you will open up our ears, that you will open up our hearts, that you open up our mind to understand, to comprehend, to experience your power in our life. God, I pray for myself, may I not simply be a speaker of your word, but a doer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ivan Pavlov, I'm sure most of you have heard this name. For those of you who are still in high school, I believe they probably still teach that. And if any of you have ever taken a psychology class, that name comes across very familiar to you. Why? Because Ivan Pavlov was a Nobel Prize winner who happened to be a neurologist and a physiologist. And what won him the Nobel Prize was what is called classical conditioning. And if you don't know what classical conditioning is, it is basically an idea that a person's behavior or even an animal's behavior can be conditioned. And so he had an experiment done on his dogs. Now, I don't know if any of you have owned a dog before, but you know, when dogs are hungry and they see a snack and they see food, what do you think's going to happen? They're going to start drooling, right? I used to, before my wife's dog, Penny, I used to have a dog too, and it was a pit bull mix. And I used to hold the food out and look at him and make sure he waits, and he's looking at me. You could begin to see the drools dripping, and then it's just slobber all over. And so that's what Pavlov did. He recognized that his dog, when the dog sees food, it begins to drool. And so he decided to do an experiment, believing that he can actually use a different stimulus besides food to cause his dog to drool. And so every time when it's time to feed the dog, he'll ring the bell. And so the dog will drool and everything. And then he began to slowly introduce just the bell alone by itself, to the point where that the dog will begin to salivate just by the ring of the bell. That is called classical conditioning, in which basically says that a behavior can be modified and changed. And it's interesting, if that is true, that basically means that we can actually practice behavioral modification, that we can change our behavior through just conditioning. Right? And that's interesting, isn't it? It basically means that you and I, if we want to, we can actually change our behavior. Just through constant repetition. But I don't know if you realize, but we can actually be conditioned in church as well. What do I mean by that? If you've grown up in church and if you've gone to church long enough, you will know that there are acceptable behaviors at church and there are unacceptable behaviors at church, correct? You will know how to behave, what language to use at church, right? When something goes well, oh, praise the Lord. How are you doing? Oh, it's in God's hands, right? And we try to practice behavior modification by this. Just being real here, I know some of you curse up a storm when you're not in church. Just real, right? But when you're in church, somehow the stimulus kicks on, and you choose your words wisely, right? When when you're not so nice outside of church, but when you come in church, you become nice. Right? Most of us don't realize that. We actually practice behavioral modification at church. And I don't know if any of you have ever recognized, there aren't sometimes Christians surprise you based on their behavior, or maybe they did something and you're like, oh my goodness, I thought he was a Christian or she was a Christian. Because look how this person was in church, and all of a sudden, they're not like this when they're not in church. I like to suggest to you that in many ways, our spiritual formation and our relationship with God and the change that happens in our life, quote unquote, is really behavioral modification. And what is behavioral modification? Behavioral modification simply is to change the outward action. But here's the thing. God didn't call us to change the outward action. God has invited us to change from the inside out. And I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard, isn't it, to change from the inside out. It's easier actually to change outward behavior than it is to change what happens on the inside. But here's the amazing news, that all of us have been given access to be able to be changed and transformed through the Holy Spirit. Our sermon series, and this is our last part of our series, we've been going through this series about the Holy Spirit, of who the Holy Spirit is. We said that the Holy Spirit is God. And what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit does some amazing things in our life. And one of the most important aspects of what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit is the agent of change. I'd like for us to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 7 through 18. And it reads, "Now if the ministry that has brought death, which was engraved in letter on stone, came with glory so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory. Transitionary though it was, will not the ministry of the Holy Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitionary came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ it is taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heart. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." When we read this text, it's a lot of stuff here. It's a little confusing, because it brings in a lot of things from the Old Testament. For those of us who don't know, let me just shine a little background for us. We're actually living in the New Covenant. And this covenant is formed through the death of Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, there were a few different covenants that God had with his people. God had the Abrahamic covenant with Abraham. And God had the covenant with Moses. And then God had the covenant with David. What was the covenant with David? That a line of David will always be king over Israel. What was God's covenant with Moses? The Mosaic covenant, which brought the Ten Commandments. And that is what the scripture passage here is speaking of. He's telling us that this new covenant surpasses the old covenant in many ways. And why does it do that? Because when we begin to see what the Old Testament covenant does, what the Old Testament covenant does is that it was meant not as freedom, but it was meant to point out how sinful we are. The Old Testament covenant and the Ten Commandments, realistically speaking, none of us can actually live up to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments was basically to charge us for, really, our failure. Now, the Jewish people try as they might to live up to the Ten Commandments by outward works. Therefore, they began to expand the Ten Commandments to 619 laws. And so, if you were able to follow all these 619 laws, then you were considered clean and holy. But what the Old Testament did, what the Old Covenant did reveal was that we could not live up to God's standards. And so, therefore, a new covenant has to come in which Christ himself fulfilled this new covenant. Now, as we begin to see this, we also begin to see this image that the Apostle Paul now is describing. Whenever Moses went up to the mountain to meet with God, and this is how Moses saw God face to face. There used to be a cloud that would hover on the mountain in which Moses went to meet with God. That was symbolic presence, that God was present and speaking with Moses. And every time Moses came down from the mountain, Moses was lit up like a Christmas tree. And what I mean by that was there was this glow from Moses. Moses was illuminating the glory of God because he was in the presence of God. And every time when Moses came down from the mountain to give instruction to the people of Israel, what God wanted the people of Israel to do, the people of Israel, when they saw Moses, they just went like this. Because I don't know about you, but when you're driving and you don't have sunglasses and the sun is really bright, your eyes, you know, it's just like you want to turn away. You can't really see. Just kind of picture that. A really bright light, and you're kind of squinting your eyes a little bit. And the people just couldn't stand it. And so they had to put a veil over Moses' face so that they could focus on what Moses was saying, right? And so here's this text that we begin to see that God is telling us that, listen, this is how Moses used to be, but we're different, right? Moses had to go up to God to encounter God, but now we can encounter God any way possible. That the Old Testament shows us that this was the way that in which we could encounter God, that we had to go through the system. Now, he says, we have a greater covenant, and this greater covenant now can bring us deep, profound transformation. Because it's interesting where it says in verse 17 and 18, it says, the Lord is the Spirit. Now, most of us, when we read this text, we naturally think the Lord is the Spirit. We're thinking Jesus, right? And then it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where our mindset is thinking, well, this text is referring to Jesus, and where Jesus is, there's freedom. But I'd like to suggest to you, when Jesus opened up the scroll, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, was he talking about his own spirit, or was he talking about the Holy Spirit? It's talking about the Holy Spirit, right? So just that title, the Spirit of the Lord, it is referring to the Holy Spirit. And so Paul is saying here that the Holy Spirit here, right, where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. I'd like to suggest to you that another word for freedom is breakthrough. That where the Holy Spirit is, there is breakthrough in our life. Because let's be honest here. We know theologically, and if you didn't know theologically, let me explain to you theologically, that every one of us who believes in Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Jesus, we've been given the Holy Spirit as a guaranteeing deposit of our salvation. And then we're also told that the Holy Spirit, that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit, right? We know that, and so the Holy Spirit resides in us, but let's be honest. The Holy Spirit resides in you. Does that mean you've experienced breakthrough? Does that mean that you're now as white as snow and, you know, you're holy like Christ is holy? The answer is no, we're not. So here the text says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Holy Spirit is, there is breakthrough. And so we know that the Holy Spirit already lives inside of us. And if the Holy Spirit lives inside of us, then the Holy Spirit can break through all of our sins, all of our brokenness, all the issues of our soul. So how does that actually happen? When the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. where the Spirit of the Lord has access, there is breakthrough. I'd like to suggest to us the reason why our lives isn't transformed isn't because the Holy Spirit is not doing its work. I'd like to suggest to us the reason why we're not having breakthrough in our life is because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit access to those places and spaces that needs transformation. Right? Because we're told, and we talked about this, that the Holy Spirit fills us. We're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And what that basically means is we need to let the Holy Spirit saturate our whole being and take over. And so if we want to experience life change, then we need to allow the Holy Spirit to have access to the areas that we're not experiencing breakthrough or freedom. Now, some of us are habitual liars. And I don't mean you just speak lies, but you're wearing a mask. You're faking it like you're trying to make it. And we do this so much a part of us. We do this in our interaction with people, with anything, because we're so afraid of how people will accept us or not. We're so afraid of if people actually knew who we really were, that they won't accept us. Well, I'd like to suggest to you that the reason why we continue to do that, even though we accepted Christ, is because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to have access to it. We have not invited the Holy Spirit to have access to those things. How about things like habitual sins that we continue to gravitate to? Right? And when we have sins that are habitual, like we can't resist it, we keep on going back to it, we know it's wrong, we try everything we can to avoid it, but yet we cannot break free. Why? Is it because we don't love God? I'd like to suggest to you, maybe it's not because we don't love God, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit access. And because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit access to that area of our life, there is no breakthrough. Right? I remember I used to work with someone, and it's a gentleman, and he came to me and said, you know, Pastor, I really struggle with pornography. You know, and when in my younger days of pastoring, I would just say, suck it up. Just here are the steps you can take to avoid it. And so just do it. But at that season in my life, I had a better understanding that what this person needed was for the Holy Spirit to have access to that habitual sin. And in order for the Holy Spirit to have access to those habitual sins, we had to begin to explore why it had power. Right? For those who struggle with quote-unquote pornography, it's not physical. It's a deeper soul issue. Because they're looking for connection with an individual. And that usually often refers back to what psychologists tell us, that they had a failure to be able to bond with their parents. A failure to attach. As a child, when we're a child and we're born, and you know, the first thing they do when we're born nowadays is they will hand the baby to the mother to have skin-to-skin contact. Why? Because they have discovered that when the baby has skin-to-skin contact with the mother, their heartbeat begins to regulate with the mother. And it begins to form this attachment of safety. And so as we were exploring this, we began to say, listen, it looks to me that you need to allow the Holy Spirit access to these things. That you need to invite the Holy Spirit into this, because as you invite the Holy Spirit to have access into these areas of your life that you really is a bondage, then you'll begin to experience freedom. But freedom is a journey, and as you allow the Holy Spirit to have access into these areas, the Holy Spirit now begins to reveal to you the things that need to take place. For some of us, when there are certain bondages that we have, or certain struggles, or things that are holding us and preventing us from going deeper in our relationship with God, and preventing us from fully acknowledging our relationship with Jesus, and fully be able to experience our true identity in Christ, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to have access over those things. And as we have a desire to give the Holy Spirit access to those things, the Holy Spirit would then begin to reveal to us the steps that you and I need to take to find freedom. But it will require for us to give the Holy Spirit access. Because most of us believe that when it comes to transformation and change, that we can do it alone by ourselves. You can change behavior by yourself, but you can't change your heart posture by yourself. We need the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is the agent of change. Whatever we're struggling with, we have to come to a place where we need to give the Holy Spirit access to that part that is holding us and preventing us from realizing our full identity in Christ Jesus. And in order to do that, it's actually quite simple. We have to just simply ask the Holy Spirit to take over. We just simply have to lay this at the feet and say, Holy Spirit, come. Help me in my weakness. Help me in my brokenness. And the Spirit of God, and the Holy Spirit will come and begin to reveal things to us. I remember when there was a person in my church plant that was really struggling with their identity. And as we were praying for her, the Holy Spirit began to bring up a memory. Because this memory played a very pivotal part in shaping her identity. And as the Holy Spirit brought this up, I share with her the image. And then the person began to weep. And then we began to process that a little bit. Right? And as we process that a little, the first question I ask is, have you released forgiveness? She said, no. I said, well, I think the Holy Spirit is leading us for you to release forgiveness. And as the person allows the Holy Spirit to have access, you begin to see change take place. Because whenever that memory is invoked again, there's not that knot. Her perception of what she perceived herself to be no longer just look through that framework. Because we naturally believe as human beings that we are in control of our own life and therefore we can have freedom and breakthrough through whatever we want. But when we're held in bondage by the brokenness of our life, it is nearly impossible for us to experience transformation. In order for us to be like Jesus, it actually requires transformation. This transformation doesn't come because we say we want to be transformed. This transformation happens not because we willed ourselves to be transformed. This transformation happens through the work of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit requires for you and I to give the Holy Spirit access. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There is breakthrough. And the question is, have we experienced that? Because when we're in the presence of God, right, we with unveiled faces now reflect the glory of God or contemplate the glory of God, right? The text says that when we have a relationship, when we're in the presence of God, we're supposed to be lit up just like Moses is. But let's be honest, we come to worship every Sunday. When you leave this room, do people say you have a glow? Because when we're in the presence of God, something about us is supposed to change. Right? When we gather together to worship and we're in the presence of God, we're supposed to change. Something is supposed to happen. But the question we have to ask is, why isn't it happening? I'd like to suggest to you, it's because we have not allowed the Holy Spirit access for breakthrough. Because where the Holy Spirit is, there's freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the bondages of our own sin. Freedom from the brokenness that we experience in life. Freedom from the soul issues that we have in the depths of our being. That is what we can have freedom in when we're in Christ Jesus. But do you know what our part of the role is? It's simply allowing the Holy Spirit to have access. By welcoming the Holy Spirit. By saying and asking the Holy Spirit, this, I am struggling with this right now in my life. And I welcome you. I give you access to this area of my life. Because we need to allow, to give access to the Holy Spirit to all areas of our life. And the reason why some of us don't give the Holy Spirit access of is we're not aware. I often tell people that awareness is 50% to freedom. When you're not aware of what is holding you in bondage, you will not know what to ask and give to the Holy Spirit access to. Did you know that we actually, our brokenness is actually on full display for other people to see? We don't realize that. Because we think we hide it well. But we don't. It seeps out of us. If you struggle with broken identity, it seeps out through how you behave, how you talk about yourself. If you struggle with shame, it seeps out in how you relate with people, how you engage with people. Why? How many of you struggle with performing? You have to prove yourself. You constantly feel like you need to prove yourself. No matter what you do, you feel you're just not good enough. Right? If you don't know, let me ask you. When was the last time you experienced success? That you actually did something and you felt, well, that, you know, and other people say, well, that's a job, good, well done, good accomplishment. And you go, but there's other people better than me. I need to do more. I need to do better. If that's you, you know, that attitude, that conversation, those words and the projection, everybody can see that except you. And so our brokenness, it's very clear. But we try to hide it. And we try to pretend it doesn't exist. And the first part of us finding freedom is awareness. And so we need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. This text tells us that when the Holy Spirit is in, has access through that area of our brokenness, we will begin to experience breakthrough. And as we experience breakthrough, the transformation begins to take place. But it will require an action of our part. That action is actually to allow the Holy Spirit access to those areas of our life. And as we begin to have the Holy Spirit begin to give access to this area, access to that area, that access to that area, we're going to experience freedom. We're going to be able to experience this renewed identity in Christ Jesus. And that is only possible through the work of the Holy Spirit, not through our own work. We can't just simply will it to happen. We need to give the Holy Spirit access. And when we begin to give the Holy Spirit access, we begin to experience a sense of freedom. Every little part that we give to the Holy Spirit access is every little piece that we're going to begin to experience freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The Spirit of God resides in you, for we are temple of the Holy Spirit. The question that you and I need to ask ourselves is how much access that the Holy Spirit has in our life. Which part of our life have we given the Holy Spirit access to? Because the Holy Spirit will change us. The Holy Spirit will transform us. The question is, how much access have we given the Holy Spirit? In my own personal experience and in my experience working with people, is that when we begin to give access to the Holy Spirit, something begins to change. When we give access to the Holy Spirit to all of our hurt and pain, because if you live life long enough, you will know that people hurt you. You will know that you've experienced some difficult seasons in your life. You may also know that you probably believe in some foundational lies that you believe about yourself. When we begin to allow the Holy Spirit access to those things, we begin to experience healing and breakthrough. Some of us, maybe as a child, we grew up believing in this foundational lie that we believe about ourselves, that our value and our worth is dependent on what we can do for other people. Some of us have been literally told that, you know, I wish you were never born. And they don't just go away. We carry that. We live our life through those lens. But when we allow the Holy Spirit to have access to that, there's healing and there's also freedom. Let us pray. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit resides in you. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Jesus, come. Just kind of want you to visualize a little bit. What are the areas in your life right now that you feel pain? That you feel that there's a knot there? What are the lies that you believe about yourself? What are the habitual sins that no matter how hard you try, you just can't break free? And now I just want to invite you to put yourself in that posture of allowing the Holy Spirit access to that area of your life. I usually get myself in the posture of welcoming the Holy Spirit by simply opening up my hands. And I just want to invite you to just open up your hands. If you want to give the Holy Spirit access to the broken areas of your life, to the areas that have held you in bondage. And just simply open up your hands and say, Holy Spirit, please come. I give you access. Lead me to transformation. Help me to heal. Help me to overcome. Holy Spirit, come. We know that you are the agent of change. And so we seek after you. Would you reveal yourself to us this week? Show us. Grant us awareness. Tell us the things that we need to do on our end in order for us to experience the fullness of your breakthrough in our life. Show us, Holy Spirit. Come. Breakthrough. And as I was praying for, I got a word, and the word is, you're good enough. I don't know who needs to hear this, but the Holy Spirit simply wants to tell you that you are good enough. And so my prayer for you as you hear those words, may those words begin to take root. It begins to break through of the lie that you believe about yourself. That you are not good enough. That you are not worthy. Are these words, that you are good enough, you are worthy, will begin to take root. And it will begin to bear fruit in the depths of your soul. That as it begins to bear fruit in the depths of your soul, breakthrough and freedom comes. So as you allow the Holy Spirit access to those areas, may He grant you freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.